All right. Good morning, everyone. It is July 28th. Right now, 6:20 a.m. over here. We give glory to God for each new day, for He is good and His love endureth forever. The Word of God is alive and powerful, and so that's why we read it every day, because it's going to transform our life. It's going to make our life stronger. It's going to draw us closer to the one true God who loves us, who creates us, and who never lets us down. So we praise God for this word that He's going to bring us today from 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 1 to 12. And it's a passage about seeking to please God, seeking to live your life for the one true God who created and who loves you, who laid His life down for you, who made a way for you when there was no way. And that's why we're here again, to look into His authoritative, powerful word. You know, Pastor Josh Pan loves you, and Jesus, He loves you even more. And that's why we give thanks to Him for His new mercies each and every morning. Morning after morning, God is so good. And He gives us a chance to hear His word, to read Him, to seek Him, to ask Him of His favors, of His love, of His guidance. And He comes through for us. So today, we are going to be enjoying His word, which is sweet like honey, which is rich like gold and silver, which is tasty like your favorite food in the whole world. Let's read it. You might not understand it, but Pastor Pan will make it nice and clear for you, and we're going to have amazing reflection together. But we got to start with the word of God, because it is God's word. We don't start with my word. We start with God's word. Amen. Praise God. So, 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 1 to 12, it says, "In the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, Hoshea, son of Elah, became king of Israel in Samaria, and he reigned for 9 years. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, but not like the kings of Israel who preceded him. Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came up to attack Hoshea, who had been Shalmaneser's vassal and had paid him tribute. But the king of Assyria discovered that Hoshea was a traitor, for he had sent envoys to Saul, king of Egypt, and he no longer paid tribute to the king of Assyria, as he had done year by year. Therefore, Shalmaneser seized him and put him in prison, and the king of Assyria invaded the entire land, marched against Samaria, and laid siege to it for 3 years. In the 9th year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria captured Samaria and deported the Israelites to Assyria, and he settled them in Hala, in Gozan, in the harbor river, and in the towns of Medes. And all this that took place because of the Israelites, they have sinned against the Lord their God, who brought them up out of Egypt, out of the bondage of slavery, from under the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And they worshipped other gods, and they followed the practices of the nation the Lord driven out before them, as well as the practices that the kings of Israel had introduced. And so the Israelites secretly did these things against the Lord their God that were not right. From the watchtower to fortified cities, they built themselves in high places in all their towns, and they set up sacred stones and Asherah poles on every high hill and under every spreading tree. At every high place they burned incenses at the nation whom the Lord has driven out before them had done. And they did wicked things that provoked the Lord to anger, and they worshipped false idols, though the Lord had said, 'You shall not do this.'" Wow. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your grace, Your mercy, for Your love. And we thank You that we can learn so much from this passage. And so, Father God, we pray that we would stick to the very end to listen to You and have this time devoted to You so that You may speak to each one of us. And Lord, we submit to You because Your word is the word that we build our life upon. In Jesus' most holy name, amen. Amen. Wow. This is the tragic fall of Israel, its conquest and deportation of the people by the Assyrians. You see, they paid tributes to the Assyrians year after year, but then they started paying tribute to Egypt, started putting Egypt above Assyrians, above their own God, Yahweh. And that was the tragic fall, the end of God's patience, the execution of his judgment. You see, God is coming. He's coming to judge. He's coming to judge all people one day. And then people who say yes to Jesus will, by God's grace and his mercy, be in his presence, will not be eternally separated from him, will be saved and experience his glorious, glorious might, glorious presence, which is so good. There's no more sorrow, no more pain. They experience heaven when they say yes to Jesus. And that's why we want to say yes to Jesus forever. But then those who said no to Jesus, those who were ignorant, those who never heard him and did not submit to Jesus, then what happened is that they will experience this judgment of eternal separation from God. That judgment that was for the devil, from Satan, for the demons, they will experience that. And so this is the end of God's patience. But God is a patient God. He's long-suffering. He's waiting for you to come to him. He wants you to come into his presence. He wants you to build a relationship with him each and every day. He wants you to live a life of meaning and purpose that is for him. And when we have Jesus in our life, he transforms our life from the inside out. He gives us naturally. He walks with us through those dark situations, through those hardships, through those times that we feel like we're lost and broken and just can't get out. But he's the one, the real God, who truly sets us free. And we should not be turning into the world. We should not be turning to Egypt, which was like one of the superpowers of that time. Assyria was one of the superpower nations of that time. We should not be turning to those nations. We should not be turning to government. We should not be turning to the things of the world, because ultimately, man, things of the world, they let us down. But God, he never lets us down. God, he always comes through for us. And so we see during the reign of Hoshea, the last king of northern Israel, a picture of reaping what one sows. He lasted for 9 years, but he lived a wicked life. Not as evil as the kings before him, but his treachery was that he surrendered Israel to Assyria when he took the throne. He submitted to Assyria. He said, I will serve you, and our people are your people. But then later, he committed treason, and he betrayed Assyria. And then he sought an alliance with Egypt against Assyria, and he refused to pay tribute or taxes to Assyria. So immediately, he was seized and imprisoned. Immediately, he was taken away, and immediately, he lost his kingship. Amen. So, I got a baby here. Hello, you okay? You want food? Are you hungry? You're hungry. Let's sit you up. Put this behind you. Let's make a way for you to have some milk. Sit back and relax. Enjoy the show. Enjoy the show. Yes. Enjoy the show. Are you ready? I'm ready. Bottle. You cry. And you go. Pop. Pop. The funny thing is, normally he just latches on, but he didn't latch on, so we'll see what happens next. He's funny. Anyways, maybe he just wanted a different position. And so, this is the climatic fall of Israel, the end of God's patience, the final judgment, which is to come at the end of ages. And Assyria, they invaded the entire land. They took away even the capital city of Israel. northern Israel, which is Samaria. And they took all the people who lived there, and they deported them, and they sent them far away into Assyria, into Hala, into Gozan, into the towns of Medes. And the terrible sins was the one that caused the fall of Israel, which is a tragic picture of sin's consequence. You see, we all sin. We all have fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin, the punishment of sin, the fee, the consequence of sin is death. And that death is not just a physical death, but a spiritual death, an eternal separation from God. And that is for eternity. And that is where there's going to be the lake of fire, be pain, be destruction, corruption. And there's no way out. There is eternal hopelessness and darkness, which is somewhere that we pray that you will never end up. The wages of sin is death. But God, He gave us everlasting life through Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our Messiah. Through Jesus, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. Because God so loved the world that He sent His one and only begotten Son. Whoever shall believe in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting, eternal life in Him, in His presence. And all you got to do is confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead and gave you salvation. Allow Jesus to be your living sacrifice, the Lamb of God, to be your Savior. And when you accept that gift, you will for sure enter into the gates of heaven. Enter into somewhere that's so much better. Glory to God. And so, that's why we accept Him as our Lord and Savior. And not only does He give you salvation, but He also gives you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is God. And Holy Spirit enters your heart and lives in you. Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Lord, temple of the Holy Spirit? And I believe heaven is God's presence. And that means when the Holy Spirit is in you, then God's presence is in you. Heaven is in you. And He empowers you. He allows you to shine. He allows you to have direction, a friend living in you. God is living in you. Not just outside. He's living all over around you. He's omnipresent. And so we can see the terrible sins that caused Israel's fall, a tragic picture of sin's consequence, where the sins were listed, the failure to remember the Exodus, how they tried to run away from Egypt, get out of it, which was God's salvation. And then they feared and worshipped false gods instead of the one true God, Yahweh, Yeshua. And then they walked in wicked ways of the world, and they followed wicked leaders and tried to hide and keep secret of their unrighteous behaviors. And they built false worship centers like the Asherah poles. They tried worshiping the false gods of other nations, the false gods of wicked kings, the false bulls, and worship the things and mock God. They didn't trust the one true God, so they turned away from Him. And then they set up sacred stones of wooden poles and images of the goddess Asherah. And they burned incenses and offered up prayers and worshipped false gods, and did many wicked things that angered and provoked the Lord. They worshipped false gods and violated God's holy word, which He clearly commanded. And so tomorrow we'll be touching on even more of what they did. But there's only one true God, and that God is the God that we serve. The one true God, the God that we seek to please, the God is Yahweh Himself. We go into the Holy Scripture, into the Word of God, so that He may be able to speak into our life, and so that He may be the King of our life. You see, time and time again, God is seeking to have a relationship with you. He's saying, "You are my child. And I created you, and I love you, and I sent my Son Jesus to save your life." And there's no greater love than this, but one to lay their life down for another. And that is exactly what Jesus did for you. He's the one that died for you, paid for your sin, made a way for you when there's no way. You see, that sin separated us from God, and there's no way that we can get to God, except we cannot work our way to God. No, we cannot buy our way to God. We could not do anything. We were powerless to sin. But God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross, to raise from the dead, for he's the resurrection and life, and to shatter that barrier, that sin, that wall that was between us and God. Shatter it. Break that barrier and said, through me, I'm your bridge. I'm your connection to the Heavenly Father, to the one that created you. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so some reflection here is that, number one, the root of all ills, the fall of any kingdom. Your life can be a kingdom, right? It can be a complicated affair. But the fall of Israel comes down to their failure to obey God's command and to heed his warnings. God warns them over and over again, from time and time again, from generation to generation. He's warning them and he's showing them that when they turn to him, then he will come through for them and he will save them from their own sin. He will save them from their enemies. And he's the one that saves us from our enemies, from our own situation, from our pain and suffering. Well, we go through that, but he's with us through it and from eternal separation from him. And so they forgot their roots and identity as God's people. And we must never forget our roots, how God came through us, for us, how he's faithful in the past, in our life, or maybe for the Israelites, for other people, how he's been faithful in the past. He's faithful today, and he's faithful forever and ever and ever. Amen. And so don't forget your roots. Be grounded upon his word. Be anchored. Be rooted upon God. And know your identity in him. A lot of people, they're very confused about their identity. They don't know what gender they are. They don't know what kind of person they are. They don't know their mission. They don't know their direction. They don't know their identity. And they go through identity crisis. But then, when you live in Christ, you never have to go through that identity crisis, because you know who you are. You are the son, a daughter of Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ. You are ambassadors of God. You are a holy nation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a part of something so much greater. Amen? You have a mission. And so that's why we walk in the ways of our Lord, our God, because he promised us good, good things. And he showed us the way. He showed us the truth. He showed us how to live our life, and life abundant. He gave us life abundant, life to the fullest. While the enemy, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The enemy comes to stop you, comes to steal your time away, your energy, your talent. He tries to lock you up. He tries to separate you. But God, he says, you know, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You see, you are the light of the world. Does darkness, yes, amen, you are the light of the world. Does darkness linger in the light? When you turn on the light, does it just like hang around before it disappears? No, it vanishes right away. So being the light of the world, you gotta be connected to the source, the ultimate light, the ultimate source, the charger, the recharger, that is God himself. We gotta be connected to that source of life, which is God himself. And he will give you the ability to shine so bright that people are like, wow, you're so bright, you're so different. And you can say, yes, because of Jesus who lives in me, Jesus who saves me, Jesus who loves me, Jesus, because of Jesus, I'm having Jesus time right now. Amen. It's so good. And so let's not forget our roots, our identity as Jesus people, as God's people. And then the Israelites, they disregarded the laws and promises that they were spiritual glue keeping the kingdom together. That were the spiritual glue. And Jesus, he is the spiritual glue. He is the glue that holds all things together. He's the glue that holds communities together, holds families together, holds cities and countries together. He's the glue that holds us all together. And the moment we took Jesus out of our home, out of our family, out of our city, out of our country, that's when we see that country is headed towards ruin and destruction, corruption. We're seeing inflation, we're seeing economically, militarily, everything going down because they took Jesus out. But that's why we need to bring Jesus back. Bring Jesus back into our own life first. Bring Jesus back, be on fire for him. Then bring Jesus back into our family, which holds things together. Families, husband, wife, together, spouses, together. Who holds family together, having a child, having both parents, instead of being widowed. Have a whole family as Jesus holds all things together. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so that's why we must walk in his ways. Have a family, which is the nucleus of all governance. A government. Family is so important. The moment they destroy family and say, this is what family is, and confuse people of what family truly is, then that's the moment we will see the downfall of the country. And that's where it's headed right now. But then, it doesn't have to end up there. Because we can bring Jesus back into our family. Then when the family is strong, there's a strong community in church. And that family in church, where they don't... Even, you know, the sad thing is that they took Jesus, took God out of churches too. We need to bring Jesus back into our churches. And start with the Word of God. Start with the passages. What God has commanded us, what God is teaching us. We cannot be just saying things and using religion to control people. Religion isn't what we want. Traditions, rituals is not something we want. We want a relationship with God. And relationship takes time. Relationships takes effort in order to build between one and another. So we need to seek God each and every day and read his word and be a part of his glory, part of his story, a part of his will and his direction and his mission in our life. Be one with God. Say, not my will, but yours be done. Not my will, but yours be done. Lord, may you increase in my life and I decrease. May you be made known. Yes, you may make my name known. Just like you made Abraham's name great, made him a great nation, so that other people can know that he is God. So Lord, use me so that people may know that you are God. But let my name not get in the way of them worshiping God. May I decrease and God increase. Be humble and God will exalt the humble. And he resists the proud. So don't forget your roots, your identity. Don't disregard the laws and promises from God that is the spiritual glue from keeping you together, the kingdom together. You see, we need God. We need to know his promises, and he has great, great promises for each and every one of you. The promises that are so wonderful, the promise of the promised land, the promise of a new body, a promise of a new heaven and earth, a promise of a life that is well worth living, a promise where you will not be sick anymore, that there's no more corruption around you, a promise where his eternal glory and presence is all around you, where you don't have to worry about anything else in the world because you are in his presence and you are in his glory. He's the one that glues us together. His laws, his promises are so good that when we obey, then we will see the fruits of his ministry, the fruits of his story, the fruits of the Spirit appear in your life, which the world cannot offer. They cannot offer you what true love is all about. Agape love, unconditional love that God has for us. They cannot offer the everlasting joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Love, joy, he gives us peace. A lot of people are experiencing anxiety, experiencing depression, experiencing a life that is worried about what's happening in the future. But then God says, lean not on your own understanding. Submit in my ways, and I will make your path straight. So when you seek first the kingdom of God, he will add all things unto you. He will be able to bless you and give you exactly what you need in each and every day, in each and every age. Amen? Are you ready for some food? Someone said, I wish I was that baby. Hey, glory to God. Come on. I never seen him not chew, not latch on. He's built and being filled with the Holy Word of God. Well, he's just chill. He's just saying amen. Every time he says, ah, he says amen. I believe it, right? He's saying amen. Glory to God. And so God is the spiritual glue. He's the one that holds us all together. The Israelites, they turned to idols whose worshipers they had previously defeated. Even actions that seemed neutral, like Hosea's political decision, resulted from a refusal to trust in God. Hosea's political mistake stems from his spiritual failures. If he trusted in the Lord, one true God, then he would not have turned to the worldly powers. He would not turn to the world. He would not have offered the gold and silver that was to God, to them. He would not have been afraid of the enemies, because for sure God is the one that protects and watches all things, and he protects believers as well. So you may point to various reasons for your own societal ills, from corruption leaders to moral failures, but these things are only symptoms. The root cause is people's failure to worship God in their own personal lives, to obey his commands, to hold his promises together. Amen. Yeah, so then that's why we must not fail to worship the one true God in our own personal lives today. We must turn to him each and every day, be dedicated to reading his word, to listening to him, to building our life upon his firm foundation. We must obey his commands, to hold his promises, and to walk in his ways, for his ways are good, his ways are powerful, his ways are the way, the only way. It may be path, the narrow, but then the narrow path is the way to heaven, to God, to a life that is so good, so abundant. And so we hold on to his promises. We look at his faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness, O Lord. Great is your faithfulness to me. And he's so faithful. He is faithful. And we hold on to his promises, his every promises. And we know the promise of eternal life. You see, death is not the end of this life. The death is just the beginning of eternity. Amen? Amen. And so, let's eat the word of God. Let's eat his food. Not just baby food, but solid food of the word of God. And that's why we must learn. We must learn, all right? Amen. Let's learn from him. And he's not chewing. But hey, glory to God. So what can we learn from this passage? How can we deep dive into this passage from 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 1 to 12? He's not chewing. Introduction to this passage is that Patience is one of the most difficult qualities a person can possess. Bear in mind that a patient person is slow to speak, slow to anger, not easily angered, and prone to not overreact. Patience is the key to life. Patience is virtue. Patience will bring you so far in your life. And patience is what? Trait that God has. He is a patient God, and he's a God who wants to give you everything that you need, and he's waiting on you, patiently waiting on you to accept his gift of salvation, to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to accept the Holy Spirit to live inside of you. You see, a patient person is more likely to understand, to be in control, to have self-control, to be merciful, to be compassionate, more likely to be gentle and kind and a better listener. A patient person is also more likely and open to receive others. Even when mistakes are made, a patient person
or I'm more likely to forgive them. And the ultimate patient person is God Himself. He is patient with you. He's patient with me. He's patient with all of us. But in reality, it is sometimes difficult to be patient. A family member or a fellow worker aggravates us, or moves too slowly, or fails to do what he or she promises. A parent becoming impatient with a child, or a child with a parent. In workplace, a supervisor with employees, or becoming impatient with others. The list of scenarios is endless and goes on and on. We need to have patience. Patience is a great subject of this passage. Patience of God, which is the end of his patience. You see, God is a patient God. But one day, there's going to be an end of patience. And this is the end of patience to the northern kingdom of Israel. He waited for them for generations to generations, gave them time after time to repent, to turn to the one true God, to depend on him. But yet, they continued to worship the false gods. They continued to walk in the ways of evil, sinfulness, and walk in the ways of the world instead of walking in the ways of God. And so, that day came when God's patience finally ended and his hand of judgment struck. For over 200 years, God's patience had endured Israel's sins. And he, 200 years, and he had been long-suffering with their wicked behavior. Their turning to false gods and worship, and their rejection of him. Imagine the patience and forbearing needed to put up with the sinful, rebellious Israelites of the northern kingdom for over 200 years. You're putting it up for 200 years, and because of Israel's wickedness and their rejection of the one true God, of Yahweh, God had no choice but to take his hands of protection, of blessings, of provision off of them and let whatever happens to them happen. And the people had reached their point of no return, a day where their hearts would never repent nor turn back to him. Their leaders, time after time, just fell into sin. And consequently, there would be nothing but evil and wickedness flowing out of their lives. This God cannot allow. God is perfect. He's righteous. He's holy. He has no sin. And that's why God is the one that we want to follow and strive after. And we want to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Because we know that when we seek that, then he will add all things unto you. He will add abundance to you. He will give you even more than you can ever imagine. Exceedingly above what you can imagine, think of, and ask for. There is no hope for the Israelites ever repenting and living in righteous lives as testimony to the only true God. It was time for them to face the judgment of God. And sadly and tragically, the northern kingdom of Israel fell under assault of the Assyrians, and the people were transplanted into another conquered nation. And this is the tragic fall of Israel, the consequence and deportation of people by the Assyrians, which was from 721 to 722 BC, 700 years before Jesus came, and the end of God's patience and the execution of his judgment happened in this passage, which today we're looking at the reign of Hosea and the last king of Israel, which is a picture of reaping what one sows, and then the climatic fall of Israel, and the end of God's patience and judgment, the terrible sins that caused Israel's fall, and tragic picture of sin's consequences, which we will see more of tomorrow, and the settlement of foreign refugees of the land of Israel, which is a clear warning to each and every one of us from God. Amen. And so, we're going to read more of that. And so today, we're looking at Hosea, the last ruler of northern kingdom. He's been assassinated. And he assassinated his predecessor, Pekah. And he had led an uprising of pro-Assyrian supporters. And because of Pekah's opposition and war against Assyria, much of the territory of Israel has been lost to the Assyrians already. And now the Assyrian troops were stationed all along Israel's eastern border, right across the Jordan River. And Israel was facing annihilation, extinction, a cloud of hopelessness and swept through the nation, and there was no hope for them. But they could have turned to the one true God. But they did not. And because of this, Hosea and his pro-Assyrian supporters made a secret agreement to become vassal states of Assyria, that is, to pay annual taxes to the Assyrian kings, the Assyrians, and to allow them to keep their land. Agreeing with the proposal made by Hosea, the pro-Assyrian supporters, Tiglath-Pileser, apparently backed or at least encouraged the uprising against King Pekah. And once this secret agreement has been settled upon, Hosea assassinated the Israelite king and assumed the throne for himself. Well, he took the throne in the 12th year of King Ahaz of Judah, and he reigned for 9 years. And throughout his life, Hosea lived a wicked, wicked ruler of the land. He continued to do evil in the eyes of the Lord. But note what the scripture says. He did not do as much evil as the kings that had ruled before him. Nevertheless, he still stood guilty before God because of sin, because of his wicked life, because he did not lead people to repentance, to following the one true God. He failed to encourage them to turn away from their false worship of false idols. And there was a downward spiral into a more wickedness that continued in the nation. He didn't call for a revival. He didn't call for God to come on the people. And consequently, the whirlwind of God's judgment became a force that was unstoppable. The citizens of the northern kingdom would now reap the consequences of their sin. And Hosea would be the king sitting upon the throne when the tragic fall of Israel took place. And at some point in his reign, Hosea made a decision to refuse to pay tribute and taxes to the Assyrian king. And note this fact, by this time, Tiglath-Pileser III has died, and his son Shalmaneser had become king of the foreign power. And as soon as Shalmaneser heard of the revolt, he immediately arrested and imprisoned Hosea. So we can learn from here how Hosea lived a life of wickedness, and that climax in a plot of that intrigued murder, intrigued betrayal. Then, after securing the throne, he quickly launched a foolish plan that conspired against the king of Assyria and the greatest power of that day. They were the superpower. And throughout his adult life, Hosea, he sowed one wicked seed after another, and you reap what you sow. When you reap, you sow into deception, into conspiracy, into murder, into the flesh. You will reap corruption and eternal corruption. When you sow into the spirit, then you will reap everlasting life. So in the end, the law of sowing and reaping struck a heavy blow. The law of seed time and harvest, he sowed corruption and reaped arrest and imprisonment. And then he lost his complete power over his nation, and the nation of the northern kingdom has fallen under his leadership. And if there's any lesson in God's holy word that it teaches in this place, is that you reap what you sow. It is a law that was established by God himself, established throughout the whole universe. It was established ever since Genesis chapter 6, where God says, as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and hot, summer and winter, and these seasons will continue. And if certain conditions exist, there will be particular results. In an area of human behavior, if you sow righteousness, if you sow into the Spirit, if you sow into God, into your life, then You will reap goodness and fruitful lives and build up a society that is good around you. And you will set examples of righteousness, justice, compassion, kindness, and love for all those who come in contact with you. But if you sow lives of sin, wickedness, you will ultimately reap lives that suffer catastrophic consequences, sinful, wicked lives that tear down society. promoting immorality, injustice, lawlessness, violence, murder, abuse, assault, rape, profanity, unbelief, idolatry, idol worship, and other host of other evils. Wow. And we can see that when we took Jesus out of our society, that happened. We're seeing corruption happen. But of even more significance, wicked lives will eventually suffer the doom of God's eternal judgment. This is a warning for each one of us, being separated from His presence forever and ever, which is somewhere we never ever want to end up. So if any man does what is good and bad, it has consequences. God has established certain principles or laws throughout the universe that always take place. Amen. Oh, almost done. There is a law of sowing and reaping. Hey, almost done. If a man sows wickedness, he will reap corruption. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, it says, "Bear one another's burdens, and thereby be filled by the law of Christ." And number 2, there is a law of measure. If a man measures, doles out, distributes wickedness, he will be measured by wickedness. Whatever a man measures, he will receive. And so, there is the law of seeking. If a man seeks, he will find. And the harder he seeks, the more he will find. Amen. And so, he says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, "Ask, it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. And knock, the door will be opened unto you." Matthew chapter 7, verse 2 says, "For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you made, it shall be measured up against you as well." And number 4, the law of willful hardness and impenitence. And the more a man hardens himself and refuses to repent, the harder and more impenitent he becomes. Becomes hard-hearted, his heart is hardened. In fact, a man can become so hardened that he never repents, never thinks about repentance, thinks he's got all things together and that he does not need God. Such a man stores up the wrath against himself. In Romans chapter 2, verse 5-6, it says, "But after thy hardness, the impenitent man," what's another word for that? "But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each person according to his deeds." Wow. Well, and number 5, there is law being fitted for destruction. The more a man refuses to believe God, the more he is fitted and conditioned for destruction, for corruption, for ruin, for just chaos. In other words, a man prepares and conditions himself for corruption and destruction through unbelief, through disbelief in the one true God. So what if God, willing to show his wrath and make his power known, endure with such long suffering the vessels of wrath fit to destruction? That's Romans chapter 9, verse 22. It says, "What if God, although willing to demonstrate his wrath and to make his power known, endure with such patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction?" Wow. God is patient, right? Amen. God is a loving God. God is one that brings us into a place that we need, which is place of security, place of stability, place of peace, place of joy and love. That's what we all want, and that's what God can offer, and that is what He offers when you turn to Him. Number 6, the law of God's patience. He is not willing that any should perish, but He that all come to repentance. He wants all of you guys, each and every one of you, to repent, to turn to the one true God. And therefore, God allows the world to continue to exist
allowing more and more people to be saved. He endures with patience the believers who harden themselves and stores up the unbelievers who harden. He is patient with unbelievers who harden themselves and store up wrath against themselves in order that some might be saved and given the privilege of knowing the true riches and glory of His grace and His mercy. Amen. And so in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 to 4 and 9 to 19, it says, knowing this, first of all, that the last days of mockers will come with their mocking and following their own lust, their own desires, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. And said, but do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, with the Lord, that one day like a thousand is like a thousand years, and a thousand years is like one day. You see, God is not limited to time. He's not limited to space or matter. God created time, space, and matter. He's the creator of heaven and earth. He is above all that. You think that God lives in heaven? Sure, He lives in heaven, but He is beyond heaven. He created heaven and earth. He said one day, heaven and earth will be destroyed by fire. Wow. And so the Lord is not slow about His promise at the same count as some count it as slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any of you to perish, wishing for any of you to have eternal separation from Him. That is not our God. God wishes that each and every one of you repents and turn to Him. Each and every one of you say yes to Jesus forever. Each and every one of you to have eternal life in Him and to be able to live in His truth, in His righteousness, in His love. That's what God longs for, a relationship with all of you. He is omnipresent. He is all-powerful, and He is all-knowing, and He sees all things. And so we glorify God, for He is good, and He never lets us down. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Oh, he burped. Good job. And there's the law of God's supreme purposes. God's supreme purpose is that His Son be first among many brothers. God wants Jesus Christ to have many, many, many brothers and sisters. And we are all brothers and sisters in Christ. We are siblings in Christ. Amen. Who will be conformed to His image and counted Christ as one who is to be worshipped and served eternally. And in order that Christ gain more and more brothers who honor Him, who glorifies Him, God is willing for unbelievers to continue in their unbelief, even hardening themselves under the just and judicial laws that He established. Men are allowed to go on in unbelief. You have the free will to do so. You have a choice, ladies and gentlemen, but if you walk in that way, then you're only condemning yourself under the just and judicial laws of the universe. Amen. And so, Romans chapter 8, verse 28 to 30, it says, and we know that all things work together for good. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good. And to those who love God, and to those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, Jesus, so that He would be the firstborn among many brethren, brothers and sisters. We are to be conformed to the image of His Son, which is Jesus. And Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Jesus is the visible representation of the invisible God. And you are created in the image of God. And so you are to conform in the image of God. You see, we being created by him, through him, we are to know who he is. How can you conform? How can you shine like Jesus? How can you walk like Jesus? How can you obey him if you do not seek him every day? One important law in my life that I hold strong is to improve 1% each and every day. Improve on the content creation 1% every day. Improve on being a better dad 1% every day. And I need to improve on being a better husband 1% every day. And I need to improve on being a pastor, being guiding you 1% every day. In the way I speak to you 1% every day. The way I communicate the word of God 1% every day. The way I read the word of God and follow him and lead others to God 1% every day. We want to get better, closer to God. And we want to know 1% each and every day. More and more. And that every day, 1%, it becomes exponential. No longer do you have to be stagnant. Do you have to be stuck where you're at? Now you can be 1% every day. Have that mindset to improve, to grow for God, for his glory, for his wisdom, for his goodness. For this is God's will for you, to grow, to be fruitful, to multiply. And he made a way for you to do so. He made a way for each one of you guys to grow. And that's why we follow him. And that's why we obey him. And that's why we seek him first. And then we then and find his kingdom, find his righteousness. Amen? Amen. And so we must conform to Jesus. In order to do that, we must seek him each and every day and have Jesus time. And this Jesus time is for each and every one of you guys. This Jesus time is for us to grow in his power, in his mercy, in his goodness, in his love. We grow in him 1% every day, right? Amen. In verse 30 of Romans chapter 8, it says, "And those who've been predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified." Wow. Ultimately, God has called you into his presence. And he justified you. He justifies you. He said, "You are my child. You are worthy of praise. Worthy to be in my presence. You are worthy." While the world is constantly trying to push you down, constantly trying to say, "You're not worthy. You're not good enough. You ain't got what it takes." No, we do not listen to the lies of the world. The world may say, "You're a loser. You ain't no good. You're a loser." But you know, we don't believe that. Because when we live in Christ, we know that Jesus is victorious. Jesus has won that battle on the cross by resurrecting from the dead. Jesus has won the battle. And so in every season, you must live your life for Jesus. Every single day, daily, Jesus to Jesus, have Jesus in your life, Jesus time. And that way, you can continue walking in his truth to be made more like Jesus. You see, the more you hang out with Jesus, the more you become like Jesus. And that's what God wants you to do, to conform to the image of his son, Jesus Christ, who's the way, the truth, the life, who sets us free from the bondage of sin, the bondage of hell, the bondage of the world, the bondage of the devil, who sets us free. And now it has no longer any hold on us. We live in victory. We know God is victorious in the end. And that's why we live in his faith. Live by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. And we know Jesus is victorious. And when we go from Jesus to Jesus, we go from victory to victory, glory to glory, strength to strength, life to life, joy to joy, peace to peace. We go from goodness to goodness. We go from life of just shambles into his glorious light, from darkness to light. We are the salt of the earth.
when salt is alive and well, it preserves the earth like it preserves meat. And we church, we people, believers, are the salt of the earth. And when rapture happens, we all disappear. The salt of the earth, the perseverance of the earth, what preserves the earth, disappears. And the earth will be destroyed by fire, under corruption, under destruction. It will be destroyed one day. And everything you see around you is temporary. It will be destroyed. All the subscribers, numbers, it will be destroyed. No longer there.
Amen. Hey, you okay?
Different position. So that's why we follow in his ways. In eternal perspective, we know that he is going to show us what way to live. He's going to show us that we need to walk in his ways. He's showing us that we need to conform in his image, in the Son, Jesus' image. And with that, he predestined and called each one of us into his presence, into following him, into walking with him, so that we may be justified, so that we may be glorified. You see, he also glorified. He glorifies you. You will share, even when you're suffering here on earth, one day you will experience the glory of God, which is he is all glory. He doesn't need your glory or honor and praise, but he is worthy of you glorifying him, honoring him, and praising him every day. Amen. And so, Jesus is the way. Amen. Wow, that's amazing. I love the word of God. Let's go. Verse 5 to 6 really talks about a tragic and climatic fall of Israel, which is now to take place. And God's patience ended, and his final judgment has come and fallen upon the sinful people, the evil people of the northern kingdom. He was no longer able to protect them. He was no longer able to come through for them. He was no longer able to continue blessing them because of their evilness. And note that King Hoshea of Israel seemed to have seized and imprisoned prior to the invasion of Assyria. And whatever the case, immediately after Hoshea's foolishness, rebellion, Shalmaneser quickly marched in and conquered the entire land of northern kingdom, except the capital, Samaria. Oh, I thought they captured Samaria, but I guess not. And once he had the northern kingdom under his control, he turned against the capital and laid siege to it. But it took 3 years to conquer Samaria, for the city was like an impregnable fortress. It was a strong fortress, which was really strong and powerful. And during those 3 years of siege, King Shalmaneser of Assyria died, and his brother Sargon II succeeded him. Thus, Samaria finally fell after 3 long years. In 725 BC, during the reign of Sargon II, now 725 years before Jesus was born. And once the Assyrians had captured Samaria, they deported and exiled many of the Israelites to various parts of Assyria, Hala, Gazan, and towns of Medes. This is the exile of Israel. And then later on in the passage in the Minor Prophets, we see how Israel is in deportation. They're in exile. And so this is the beginning of exile. And later, the Assyrians would resettle in the northern kingdom and the foreign refugees from the land that was conquered. And after 200 years, about 200 years later, I mean earlier, 200 years earlier, right after Jeroboam II had led a rebellion that split Israel, the northern and southern kingdom, the Lord has sent a prophet to pronounce the future prophetic judgment upon Israel. The Lord was going to strike Israel, uproot the nation, and scatter the people in exile beyond the Euphrates River. Why? Because of their wickedness and their rejection to him. And they turned to false gods. They engaged in false worship. And the shocking prophecy regarding Israel was now being fulfilled. When God had predicted what happened, the northern kingdom Israel, they fell. What God predicted came to pass. What he says is true, is alive, is powerful. And that's why we must never neglect the word of God. Amen. And so the northern kingdom of Israel fell. And with many of his people deported, exiled into cities of Assyria beyond the Euphrates River. Yeah. And so what can we learn from this? We can learn a thought that God's patience runs its course. He has given people of Israel countless opportunities to repent over 200 years. But the people, they refused to turn away from their wickedness, refused to give up their false gods and false worship. And they rejected the Lord for so long that they became obstinate to their unbelief. They became numb to their sin. And a lot of people are becoming numb in their sin. They just keep sinning and sinning that it becomes something that's so normal in their life that they don't even know it's wrong anymore. They become numb to it. And that's exactly what happened to the Israelites. They were stiff-necked, stubborn people who stood against the Lord God himself. And they allowed their hearts to become hardened by their sinful, evil behavior. And they reached a point of no return, a point when they would never repent and turn back to God. It's almost like Sodom and Gomorrah. And we're praying that the United States will not become the next Sodom and Gomorrah. We're praying that the Paris Olympics, a lot of people raised concern and mocked God. But I also see an opportunity to talk about God, an opportunity to spark a conversation where the Lord's Supper, one famous painting, was reenacted by some drag queens. You know, I pray, what did Jesus do when he was mocked on the cross? Jesus said, Lord, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And so how are we supposed to respond? We're also to say, Lord, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And we're to not to be angry. We're not to be, that's not surprising. God cannot be mocked. He cannot. Because ultimately, God is in control. And ultimately, God knows what's going on. And ultimately, you know, all these things will come to pass, and then God will prevail, and God will come out victorious. So, praise God. As long as we are here on earth, being the light and the salt of the earth, there is still hope. As long as we read the word of God together, there is still hope. As long as we keep spreading the word of God as he has commanded us to do so, there is still hope. And hope is what God gives. Hope is something that each and every one of us need. Hope is what everyone on earth needs. Hope is what family needs. And a lot of people have given up hope. They've turned to the things of the world and has not satisfied them. They turn to the worldly things like therapy, drugs, alcohol, marijuana. They turn to their flesh, their lust, and it does not satisfy. Only God can satisfy. Only God can set us free from the bondage of sin, from wickedness. And that's why there is hope, which Jesus has given us. One of my favorite shows of all time that I watched over and over and over again. It's called Shawshank Redemption. And at the end of the show, it talked about hope. Hope. There's hope of escape from prison. Hope of escape from the chains and the shackles that hold you down. Hope is found in Jesus, our Lord, our Savior. Amen. So only God knows when a person, when a country, when a kingdom is at a point of no return, like Sodom and Gomorrah, like northern Israel, the point when they sin so much, he will never repent. No man can ever know when that point arrives in another person's life. And I believe that as long as you are alive, then you have a chance to repent, a chance to say yes to Jesus. But too many people are saying, nah, or rejecting him, or saying, I'm going to give him a try tomorrow. They procrastinate. and procrastination is the assassination of our destination. Which might be extreme, but if you procrastinate and say no to Jesus and say, I'll say that yes tomorrow. I'll say yes just before I die. I'll say yes just before the rapture happens. No one knows how long they're going to live. Life is so fragile. And that's why it's so important to say yes to Jesus today. To accept Him as your Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. So we can reach the point of no return. And once you continually say no to Jesus in your life, then that judgment will come upon you when your life ends, and that's eternity in eternal destruction, ruin in hell, eternal separation from God. So sad, so painful. Can you feel the pain? That sacrifice? I mean, that Jesus had done for us? He saved us. He redeemed us. He reconciled us. And all you got to do is accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And Jacob said, tomorrow is not promised. Tomorrow is not guaranteed. Amen. Yeah. And that's why we must turn to God today and allow Him to be our Savior. Yes. That's right. Amen. Very good. How old is he? He is 1 month old. Glory to God. 5 weeks old, actually. Amen. And so the same thing with us. There's a limit to God's patience and long-suffering. Any one of us can sin so much that we've been enslaved by sin. We reach the place of no return, the point where we never repent or turn back to God. But note, again, this fact that only God knows when someone's become so steep in sin, wickedness, and evil. No other person, we cannot judge another. It's God to judge, and God knows. And I believe that each one of us, we have a chance to repent today and to say yes to Jesus, to follow Him, and say, I belong to Jesus, and I love Jesus, and I'm committed to Jesus, and I'm not too late to Jesus. Yeshua is my King, my Lord, my Savior. And I will follow Him all the days of my life. And I will commit to Him. And I will walk in His ways. No longer will the world have a hold on me. Now I am saved and free in Him indeed. Amen. Amen. However, there is one fact that is must be heeded. Right now, God is patient with you, appealing and calling you to repent to Him, to turn to Him, to worship Him, to serve Him, to walk with Him, to accept His gift for you. God has given you everything that you need in order to go forward in life. But if you come to the end of life, never trusting in God, Christ as your Lord and Savior, never giving your life to Him, never committing to Him, then you will slip into eternity without God. And you will face this terrifying judgment of God. And therefore, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Amen. Today is the day to receive Christ. Amen. As your Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. So listen to the word of God about patience and long-suffering. In Acts chapter 5, verse 31. It says, He is the one whom God exalted to His right hand as Prince and Savior to grant repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. Romans chapter 9, verse 22, it says, What if the Lord our God, what if God, although willing to demonstrate His wrath to make His power known, endure with such patience of vessels, wrath prepared for destruction? Yes. You using the bathroom? Yeah, he's using bathroom. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7, it says, In Him we have redemption through His blood and forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. Amen. Amen. Ha. Let me make you comfortable. Maybe like it the other way. Ah, shit. Ha.
There you go. There you go. Ah.
1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it says, "If we confess our sin, he is faithful and righteous to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness." If you confess your sin, if you repent, and if you strive for sanctification, to be sanctified in Christ, strive for righteousness, strive for holiness, then you will experience forgiveness from God. Amen. Wow. Lamentation chapter 3, verse 22 to 23. It says, "The Lord's loving kindness indeed will never cease, and his compassion will never fail. And they are new every morning." Every morning, they are new. "Great is your faithfulness. His mercies are new every morning." Praise God. And then Joel chapter 2, verse 13, it says, "And rend your heart, and not your garment. Now return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate and slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and relenting of evil." Wow. So listen, God is patient, he's long-suffering, he's waiting for you to walk in his ways. And so we need to know that God's judgment is coming. It is coming. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, "Inasmuch as it is appointed for man to die once, and after this comes judgment. Death is the beginning of eternal life in God or eternal destruction." So that's why we must walk in his ways. We must be aware of what's coming. We must have an eternal perspective, and not just a perspective that is limited to this lifetime, but a long-term perspective. And that's why it's so worth it making this video, going live stream, and trusting in God. Because we know we are winning souls, and souls are something that's eternal. Amen. Hey, I'm here. Yeah. Amen. Praise God. And so our identity is in him. Amen. Let's see. And we can go through tomorrow the sin and wickedness of evil and wickedness of northern kingdom of Israel. And simply stated, the kingdom fell because of its terrible sin, its wickedness, its evilness, which shows a description of failure, which we get to see tomorrow. And so let's look at some application questions. Two questions. Number one, can you think of examples of worship problems that led to other problems? Well, you know, our hearts, our life should be a life of worship. If we do not worship God, and we turn away from him, and we don't go to church for a long time, to our community, then we will find ourselves being empty. We will find ourselves not able to be filled with the word of God, not have people be aligned with us, and not have our brothers and sisters hold us accountable. We'll feel lonely. We'll feel lost. We'll feel like life is so dark without him. And that's why we need a community. That's why we need a church that loves the Lord, that walks in his ways, that believes and trusts in him. And so, example of worship problems. Yeah, one sin leads to another sin, right? Like if you lie once, then that lie becomes bigger and bigger and bigger and results into things that we don't want to happen. And in light of this, how can you pray for your community and leaders? Well, we always pray for our leaders. Even when they are far from God, we pray that God would convict their heart and change them, because God is able to do so. God is more powerful. God is able to fill you with his spirit, which gives you identity. My identity is in Christ. My identity is a son and daughter of Christ. He is my heavenly father, and he's the one that says I'm worthy. The world says I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough, but God says I'm worthy. Amen? Amen. So today we're going to intercede. We're going to pray together for this country. It's Tajikistan.
and the capital is Dushanbe. And it's got 9 million people. A Muslim of 98%, an agnostic of 1%. And although Tajikistan has been able to lower its poverty rate, it remains one of the poorest countries in Central Asia. And the nation's economy is struggling due to corruption, weak governance, and debt. And thus, many of the men are working outside of the country to make ends meet. And as a country that is predominantly Muslim, it also upholds strict religious restriction for non-Muslim. This means that many have not the chance to hear the gospel. Nevertheless, there is a body of 1,000 believers that is growing in Tajikistan. And therefore, we must pray for them. We must pray for Tajikistan's economy to stabilize so that its people may live dignified lives. We must pray that people there accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And we praise God for a growing body of believers. And so let's pray for this country. And let's pray to accept Jesus as a Lord and Savior. And let's pray that for all believers already. Amen. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We lift up this country to you. Tajikistan, the capital city of Dushanbe, of population of 9 million people. Muslim people, 98%. We praise God that there is a growing believers in this country. Even though there's restrictions, they still grow to believe in you. They still want to honor and glorify you. So Lord God, I pray you protect this group of believers that are rooted in the word, that is never shaken by the devil, because we know the word of God is more powerful, that the devil flees from them. We pray that your protection, your provision, your blessings come into their life, and that they may be transformed to be more like Jesus, to be conformed to be like Jesus, conformed in his image. Lord God, we thank you that we're able to be part of this prayer, interceding for different countries every week, to be praying for them and knowing that you are working. Lord God, we love you because you care for all people of all ethnicities, of all ages, and we know that you are in control. So Father, may this nation be converted for you. May they seek and know who you are, and may they walk in your ways. And then a prayer for all those who want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Pray with me. Lord God, we come before you. We love you because you loved us first. And we need a Savior. I'm hurting, broken, in darkness. And we need a Savior. Need someone to rescue us. And Jesus, you are that Savior. So we come to you humbly. And we commit to you. And we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Lord God, thank you for saving me. I commit to walking in your ways all the days of my life. And I commit to praying to you, to reading your word, and to building your community. Father God, we thank you so much. For you are the good God, and you never let us down. Amen. Amen. And then a prayer for everyone. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your goodness, your mercy, and for all that you've done for us. We thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for the ability to seek you each and every day, and to knowing you and to loving you. Lord God, strengthen us in our faith in you each and every day. May we build our life upon your firm foundation. May we not be stagnant. May we improve in you 1% each and every day. Grow closer to you. It may be hard in the beginning, but Lord, you are the God who's victorious, and you are the God who's able to help us through the fire, through the storms of life, through the facing the giants and the difficult things in the world. Lord God, we come before you and we cry out to you because we know that you are in control and that you are seeking us as we seek you first in our life, as we commit to you in our life. So Lord, I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice, that you bless them, protect them, heal them, give them wisdom, understanding, knowledge, discernment in everything that they do. And may they be transformed to be more like you as they seek you each and every day. We love you, God, in Jesus' most holy name. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Praise God. Davin says, I like your TikTok, Pastor Josh Pan. Thank you. All glory to God. God's child, Nicholas Border, amen. Travis, amen. We have so many people show up today on TikTok. All glory to God. KJ, Jeanette, Liz, thanks for the follow. It helps so much building the channel up. Cindy, Mel, amen, amen. Marie from Chicago, amen. I am 111. Hello. Thanks for the follow, guys, and subscribe. God bless you. JJ says, God bless you and your family. Glory to God. We love you, God. Matthew says, amen. Blessings, brother. Have a great week. Thank you. Amen. Praise God. He is 1 month old. Amen. Jacob. Wow. Margaret, hello there. Mr. Amen. God bless you. Yeah. Ms. Sir, hello there. Shelby Blum, hello there. God bless you too. Marie and Cat Moon. Hello, Marie. And Buddy, Rock Buddy. Sharon, have a blessed day. He needs to change diapers, that's for sure. I know that. I know he pooped, farted, and then we're just going to massage him a bit. Massage him a bit. Get some leg exercise. And then, yeah. Oh, man. God is good. I am 111 says, thank you for the word, brother. I'm so glad to be able to do this daily live stream with each one of you guys. Yeah, it's a wonderful teaching. It's teaching me too. Teaching me too. Okay, let's go. So, God bless you. See you next time. Panda out for now. Glory to God. Take care. Amen.